Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to I Love Movies. My name is Doug Benson, and I do love movies. I don't see nearly as many as I used to, because now I have a new rule. If a movie is G, PG, or PG-13, and it looks intriguing, I will wait and see it on an airplane. Because I fly a lot, and all of that shit always shows up on planes, because it's family-friendly. The R-rated movies don't show up as much. And if they do, they cut stuff out, and I don't want to miss things. Speaking of R-rated movies, Super High Me is continues to be available. Thanks. Continues to be available for those of you who want to rent or buy it. Good luck finding it. It's not at Walmart. Let's see. I can't even read my own. I wrote a couple things down I wanted to say on a post-it. Now I can't even read. Oh, hey, also, listeners to this podcast, if you're in town sometime, and the town I'm talking about is Los Angeles, and you want to see this podcast live and in person like these folks are doing right now here at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles, just go to ucbtheater.com, theater spelled fancy, R-E, and check it out. It's free. It's free to look at the calendar at ucbtheater.com, and it is also free to actually attend one of these tapings. We do it right before Comedy Death Ray, which is an awesome, popular show at the UCB Theater in LA. All right. Before I bring our guests out, I just want to say I'm very psyched about Quantum of Solace, the new James Bond movie that's coming out soon. The trailer looks good. I'm still very unhappy about the title, Quantum of Solace. I didn't look up either of the words. I'm pretty comfortable with the word of. I know what that means, but I don't know what a quantum of solace is. I think quantum is a lot, because I remember there was a show called Quantum Leap, and he rarely went back or forward in time by just a few minutes. And so quantum must be a lot. And then solace is like comfort, I guess, or, you know, calmitude. Chance to relax. So that doesn't sound good for a James Bond movie. A lot of comfort and relaxing. So I'm just hoping that the way James Bond gets some solace is from killing a lot of dudes and sexing a lot of ladies. Let's bring our guests out. I always have two hilarious comedians, and tonight is no exception. Not always comedians. They could be actors, or these guys are actors. and comedians. Two of the best. The first gentleman you may have seen in the most recent season of Last Comic Standing. I give him the Doug Benson Award for didn't go as far as he should have on that shitty show. from Canada, but America is starting to love him as much as he's loved in his homeland. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sean Cullen is here. Let's hear it for him. There he is, touching me on the shoulder. I like it. You can sit there if you like, or wherever you like. Just start talking in the microphone as soon as possible.
Hello.
There you go. Because otherwise the listeners don't know that you just said hi to everyone. And
how are things?
How warm it was. Things are great.
It's a beautiful place you've got here, completely covered in gold and marble. For the people at home who can't see it, it's gorgeous.
I just told people they should come check out a taping,
sure.
Though, so they're going to
find out. It's like a toilet in Thailand.
And my other guest... Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
My other guest was delighted when I told him you like comics call me up and say, who's the other guest? When I told him it was you, he was delighted.
I feel as, delighted.
And
well.
Rightly so. I think you guys both love each other. He's one of my comrades on Best Week Ever, and you know him from Mr. Show and lots of stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul F. Tompkins is also here. Hey.
Watch out.
There's a lot of mic cords to trip over. So please, yes.
For those at home, he did a very funny triptych when he came out.
Oh, that's Sean Cullen.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you thought it was going to be
the Sean Cullen in...
You know what I was thinking of? Bill Cullen, the host of the old...
Well, there is a Sean
line?
Cullen. There is another Sean Cullen who is in that movie with George Clooney.
Oh, yes, that one.
You know, the one that won an Oscar. And
was it in black and white?
No.
Oh, Syriana.
Not that one. The
good
other
night,
one.
Good luck.
Where he's trying to... There's a whistleblower and there's problems and Tilda Swinton's...
Michael Clayton.
Yes, that's the one.
There's
yeah.
a guy named Sean Cullen,
yes,
and Michael Clayton,
plays his
who is
brother.
Not you.
He's his brother.
I might have been watching the titles at the end and went... Wow, I must have really slept through a lot of that. I missed Sean Cullen's part.
It was so subtle, you didn't even know I was in it.
I liked Michael Clayton, but mostly just because the 10 minutes towards the end are really good. Like, up until then, it's like, when is this going to get going? And then it gets going, and then it says, directed by whoever. Did you... whatever the fuck his name is.
When the credits came up, you were like, finally, here we go. And then the credits started.
No. The last 10 minutes of the movie. The final reel, if you will.
Yes.
It really kicks in. But that scene where George Clooney's like, do I look like I'm negotiating?
Yes.
Is in the trailer, and it's also 2 minutes before the end titles start to roll.
You're saying there should have been...
the most exciting moment.
There should have been a spoiler alarm.
A spoiler alarm?
Yes.
In the trailer?
In the trailer. Just look, we're going to give away a bunch
this
of shit.
This is the best part.
Shut your eyes.
Turn away now.
Why did they show the credits in the trailer, too?
I don't know about that.
That's it.
You're confusing me.
If you're showing the credits in your trailer, that's the best part of the movie? That's bad.
Guys, give me a second. I need a mere moment of solace.
Oh.
I don't need a quantum of it.
I think, no, the thing is, a quantum is a very tiny amount.
It is.
On a quantum level, you're talking about very minute things.
So like, it's going to be like maybe 10 seconds of solace and then kick ass.
Total mayhem!
Look at the gun he's carrying on the poster. It's like a giant sawed-off AK-47 machine gun. It's like, that's not a solace machine.
How many quantums are in a gallon?
An imperial gallon or an American gallon? Okay. Yeah. Well, there's certainly infinite numbers, I would say.
Well, certainly.
Yes. Tiny vibrating strings.
All right, I want to ask you guys. I know you both are
for
being,
all the physicists out there loving that.
So many.
String theory reference.
More than usual.
Oh, yeah. Look at them, all those eggheads.
Speaking of which.
Whoa!
Way to go. Boy, oh boy.
What a disaster.
We had a special tonight for physicists. Bring some bullshit theory and you get in for free.
But you get in for free late.
Yes.
Which is more
difficult. We hold you back a little bit.
What was the time
first
listed on
we
the
have
website?
To hear your theory.
Any old time?
It's listed as 8 o'clock sharp.
Really?
Yeah, so you have to show up at 8 o'clock and you have to look good.
Okay.
Joe Jackson sings about it.
Oh,
don't you feel like trying something new?
I said right before this, I'm going to try to get these guys to sing.
It happened really fast.
I do a lot of impressions of people no one knows.
Right.
Right? And like they're useless.
Like a pig-nosed Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson.
He does.
Why? We're trivialized by trouble. No one even knows what he's saying. Why terrorized by bees? Brutalized by trouble.
Terrorized by bears? What?
Bears.
I thought it was
a song about bees. But he got it wrong on that recording. And they confused it and said bears. Terrorized by bears. But it brings up a very good point, which is that Joe Jackson and bears rarely coincide physically in our universe.
Do you think he is a bear?
I think
And that's
he
why
is.
You never yeah. see him around
He's
bears?
He's a total shaved bear. And they smell him and they go, what is that?
Does not compute.
Does not compute in my bear.
That's like
computer
the,
mind.
Yeah, the smartest bear does
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
Now I understand why most of his shows people throw picnic baskets up on the stage.
He's an undercover bear.
Right.
And he slaps any honey-flavored confections out of people's hands.
That's right.
In the crowd.
Yeah.
What is that? Someone's got honey. Whack.
Do you remember the time Joe Jackson got stuck in that window?
What? No.
Oh, he's going after some honey.
He
didn't realize.
He's so big.
He didn't realize his own width. And so he got stuck in that window.
Bears have no sense of width.
Oh, he got stuck in a window. No whiskers, that's why.
That's right.
If they had whiskers, they would
bear whiskers. Oh, they'd be like,
I'll never get out of
there. That. In the old days, in the prehistoric times, cave bears had enormous whiskers.
The biggest!
And they would, that's a cave I could live in.
The biggest. They were the Sam Elliotts of that age.
They were.
Everyone knew it.
Yes.
That's how he got that name.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Do you think when rabbits start to get fat, they also grow out their whiskers just to be able to gauge whether they can get through doorways and windows?
No. I think it's to make their faces look thinner.
Yeah. But I think they have develop hip whiskers. They get some of the plugs that they're on the sides and they can shimmy through.
It's been known to happen. Yeah. If an animal gets fat enough, it will develop hip whiskers.
On its hips, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Nature finds a way.
Get some whiskers!
If either of you at any point think of any reason to sing, do it.
All right. All right.
Because I really wanted that to happen. That was great. They both... Sean, of course, was in Corky and the Juke Pigs. Yeah, well, I figured out that's what went wrong with the whole act, is that you should have been the Juke Pigs instead of the Juke Pigs.
We would have made lots of quick movements, juking.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
That's what people miss.
Now you do.
Now I know. Juking. I know that juking is making quick movements.
Yes, it is. Back and forth, side to side.
Okay.
Juking.
All right.
He juked his way through the line.
So it's a racial thing.
Yes, it is. Totally racist.
I went to a swap meet the other day. All right. Anyway, so sing if you can. He was in Corky and the Juice Pigs.
Yeah, I could sing.
And he can sing beautifully. And Paul loves to sing in his own shows that he did at Largo.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
Yeah, but apparently I don't sing beautifully.
Well, you do.
I think
thank
you, Sean.
With a great deal of class, talent, I think succinctness. You are like, if you,
I'm very
you have song whiskers, you have song whiskers that guide you through each song. Invisible, kind of metaphysical song whiskers.
I feel that.
That's what I feel about you.
I feel that on
you
my...
You have whiskers right now.
I feel that on my voice's face. That they have their song whiskers.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
It's a really beautiful thing.
You've just put a smile on my voice's face.
And it's choking me.
Doug, you missed one hair and shaving. It's very long.
I missed lots of
sticking out of your face.
Wait, it's so funny. Oh, no, that's a sideburn hair. When you pointed, it looked like you had one big hair sticking
out.
Like
I made it happen.
Like, yeah, like, I'm going to show him how shitty this looks.
Look.
See, this is what you did.
I just flexed.
Maybe you should rethink this because you're ruining both our nights.
Should we talk about movies in any way?
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Is this a movie night?
Well, I thought about calling it I Digress.
Okay.
Was the name of the...
But A Quantum of Solace. I love the James Bond movies. I'm really excited about
Q of S.
It.
Yes.
Quantum of Solace.
Right
quantum
under your
of
eye. A Quantum of Solace. You made me cry. That Quantum of Solace in the quantum foam. Oh, baby, call me. I'm home. A Quantum of Solace.
Good.
You really backed yourself into a corner with foam.
And then you had to end on,
you are
when
never,
does James Bond ever say, call me, I'm at home?
You are never in trouble when it's Ohm or Eam.
I'm going to stop by the house.
Ire.
Try to catch me on my landline. I'm going to stop by the house for a quantum of solace. So what's your favorite, going James. To Sean first, favorite James Bond movie ever out of all 37?
On Her Majesty's Secret Service with George Lazenby.
Because
there's the opening scene. All of it is amazing, but the opening scene, you just see this girl driving through these winding streets. It's in Spain or something. He's driving along, and then they get to the beach, and then this guy comes afterwards, George Lazenby, but you don't know yet because you're just seeing him from behind. You don't know
he's
the new James
Bond. And
he's
a new Bond at this point, so you don't even recognize the back of his head.
They had kept that top secret that they were going to do another James Bond movie.
Yeah.
So people were like, would you like to see this movie?
But they hadn't seen him.
The poster, his face was a question mark.
And he just beats the shit out of like five guys. With an anchor. Like, that's the opening scene. An oar and an anchor and some fish hooks, and he just pounds the shit out of them. And he turns around and goes, well, well. And he gets hit in the head from behind and passes out, and it's awesome. And that's the theme song in that movie, is no lyrics. Boom, 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 boom. Dum, da, da.
Oh, that one!
Da, 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 da. Awesome. That's Telly Savalas, Catherine Schell, who went on to be in Space 1999 as Maya, the shape-shifting woman.
Did she ever?
And Joanna Lumley, a young Joanna Lumley, is one of the lovely girls in the weird.
You
kind
don't
of...
say.
Yes.
Yes. I know that.
And the
absolutely
beautiful,
fabulous lady.
Yeah. Okay. And the beautiful Diana Rigg is in that as sure. well, and she is hot.
Yeah. And spoiler alert: gets shot in the middle of her forehead.
Yeah.
After marrying James Bond.
It's all right. She's just sleeping.
The spoiler came so fast after the alert.
Spoiler alert!
Chance to do anything about it.
It also came 35 years after the movie was released.
That was more like a spoiler notification. I'm about to spoil this.
I love
this.
That. I love that there's a
you
great
bobsled. You will receive a spoiler notification in the mail.
Yeah.
In the next 6 to 10 weeks.
There's a bobsled chase. There's a skiing. It's got everything about James
it's
Bond.
It's got lots of action that is clearly shot. He's just hanging out in front of a green screen.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But I love that movie. I don't know why.
All right. I did like that one quite a bit. Paul, your favorite James Bond movie?
With all due respect to OHMSS, I think that when I was a kid, my favorite James Bond movie was a Roger Moore James Bond, Live and Let Die.
That's the because first one I saw in the theater.
It took place in America, and it was so exciting that James Bond was coming to America.
Did you mess with this? Yaphet Kotto.
Yaphet Kotto.
Plays two big roles in that.
Seymour was looking good.
Yaphet Kotto, I believe. Is that the same one? Yaphet Kotto, he blows up like a big balloon?
Yeah, he just swallows a
at the end of
exploding bullet.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Of course. There were a lot of them in that movie.
Now let's see, is there a James Bond movie where the villain does not die?
No,
because then I don't have to say spoiler alert. If
Blofeld
dies,
technically, Blofeld never dies. He's always
lives.
Fine.
Yeah, he showed up in that opening pre-title sequence in
Diamonds Are Forever.
No, but also in the one where Sheena Easton sings the theme song, For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes.
There's that whole long sequence where that's the only part Blofeld's in.
Just to be clear, diamonds are forever, though.
They really are.
Yes, they
because
are.
I don't want people to be confused that you were negating that concept.
Unless they get another diamond.
Oh, good point.
And they become tinier diamonds forever.
That's right.
But For Your Eyes Only was the most exclusive motion picture ever made because it was for your eyes only.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did end up
only
seeing
one
that?
Person saw that
was
movie.
Was it me?
It might have been you.
It was a strange movie.
Topol was in that.
Topol, yeah.
The Smoker's Tupac.
And Holly Lynn Johnson from Ice Castles got her sight back, skated around in a James Bond movie.
She was BB Doll, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was playing the same character. Yeah.
Was she the little figure skater in that?
No. I thought the actress really lost her sight making the movie,
The
Ice
Girl
Castles.
From Ice Castles, what are you doing here? That was my favorite line. And
yeah,
that was pretty sweet.
But Live and Let Die, here's my beef with Live and Let Die.
Okay.
The amount of screen time given to a wacky sheriff was kind of set
Buford,
the ball in motion for too much lame humor.
Not Buford T. Justice, but clearly that was an inspiration.
Yeah.
It was because it was around the time of Smokey
was
the Bandit,
that was
right?
a great scene, though. The boat chase through the Keys, through the Everglades.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And things through a wedding.
ruins the
yes,
son's wedding.
Right.
And then he appears for a second appearance in Man of the Golden Gun.
What?
And he's in Thailand on holiday. Like,
no.
Bring him
Are
back in the next
movie.
Me? No, I'm not kidding.
What a weird choice for a recurring
and he
character.
Ends up driving around like Roger Moore steals the rental car that he's sitting in. He says, "What? You doing one of them spy things again? All right." And they go and they drive out.
That's right.
Saranga.
All over the place. You're right.
I don't know. That's what I hated about the Roger Moore era. Things were
too
just
much
too stupid.
The worst one was when the hovercraft goes up on land in wherever they are, Venice, I will guess.
Yes, as a gondola. It's a gondola, grows into a hovercraft.
Hovercraft, but then it goes on land, and it's those don't work on land.
Yes, they do.
If I'm not mistaken. A hovercraft?
I think they do.
Really?
For as long as it takes
wouldn't
to get
the
water,
repulse
I think.
Wouldn't the rubber part
rub across the ground? It's not a light speeder.
Here's the thing. It's not actually hovering. No. It's
land
not
five
speeder.
Feet off
speeder.
The ground.
Oh, land speeder. Speeder.
You've really got light to get speeder. Onto your technology.
It's not a Lance Walker. It's a hovercraft that exists in, it's not a futuristic
It's not a hoverfoil. It's a... No, the thing is,
but when
they're
goes
devised
by,
to do both those things.
Okay, maybe then the double take by the pigeon.
Well, they're devised to do both
with
those
giant
things.
Whiskers on the front.
But I think it's only they're only supposed to be on land long enough to get into the water. It's not like, well, now that we're on land, let's just cruise around for a while. Right? I think their primary thing is to be on the water.
Could you guys sing this debate? but in that sequence,
yes.
The hovercraft goes by, and maybe pigeons don't know what you know about hovercrafts, because a fucking pigeon does a double take at the hovercraft going by in Octopussy, I think it was.
Because pigeons have already accepted cars.
Yes.
They've got those
finally.
In their system.
Finally.
Finally. How many times have you driven your car down the street and the odd pigeon goes...
Yeah. Most of them are pretty blasé about it. They don't do a double take.
Yeah, it's distracting when you're driving.
No.
See a pigeon out of the corner of your eye.
Another bad moment.
But not only does the pigeon do the double take, it's not even... They didn't even train a pigeon to do a double take. It's
reversing the film
and then make it go forward again.
It's That's awful. Sad. It's awful.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the computer who wore tennis shoes?
You know what? I'm thinking about the world's greatest athlete, Jan Michael Vincent. You're right.
Jan Michael Vincent. White Line Fever.
Yeah.
Is that another Jan Michael Vincent star?
Yes, he's only in movies that have the three names in the title to go along with his name.
Jan Michael Vincent.
The title of the movie must be equal to my title, Jan
right.
Michael Vincent.
Yes.
So we could put my name under each word of the
title.
Yeah,
exactly. Have a nice symmetry. Even though the first one I suggested, world's greatest athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three. If you don't
That's
count
how it
the
started.
The. If you don't count the.
I think it was just...
World's greatest athlete, world's Jan Michael Vincent.
We'll never know.
Yeah, we will. I've got the Leonard Maltin book right here.
What?
Sing amongst yourselves while I look this up.
What do you know?
Leonard Maltin, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Are you warm? Are you real, Leonard Maltin? Or just a cold and lonely, bearded work of art? Leonard Maltin. Those good songs.
That whole time I was in the back of the book where they just list names, and I was looking for worlds amongst James Woods and Joanne Woodward, going, where's worlds? World's greatest athlete, where is it? All right, I'm going to find it.
It's been struck off the records.
Yeah, I like that movie. John Amos was in it.
John Amos is a great actor.
Was he in that, really?
Yeah, he was like the coach whose idea was, let's get this African, this white boy that was raised in the jungle to be on the
I've never seen that movie, I'm realizing.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen World's Greatest Athlete?
No.
John Amos is a great actor.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
He's a great actor.
Started in Good Times.
That's right.
Brilliant.
And then he was in Roots.
Roots.
World's Greatest Athlete. Len Maltin gave it 3 stars. Hard luck
Very
coach.
Very generous, Leonard. Yes.
He doesn't
Jesus
know anything.
Christ.
Hard luck coach Amos. Aforementioned Amos returns to his roots in Africa and discovers Kunta Kinte. No, he discovers
Super Athlete Vincent, enjoyable Disney comedy with excellent special effects.
Special effects?
How excellent could they be? When did he write this book before the movie came out?
This is the next
excellent special effects.
They sped up the camera and made him look really fast.
Tim Conway is particularly funny in a sequence where he shrinks to Tom Thumb size.
What?
Why would that happen? Because Roscoe Lee Brown, as a voodoo priestess, follows Jan Michael Vincent back to the United States because he's upset that Jan Michael Vincent is going to an American college and becoming a famous athlete.
So
he comes to cast spells on people.
Oh!
And he turns Tim Conway, who's the assistant coach, into a tiny person because he wanted to make Jan Michael Vincent tiny and take him back to Africa.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
I don't get to talk about this movie enough. This is exciting. It's my second favorite movie after The Dark Knight.
Roscoe Lee Brown plays a priestess?
Like a voodoo priestess. That's what you call
a
him,
a shaman?
Right?
No.
If you will.
Yeah,
he wears robes.
Oh, okay.
He wears ladies' clothes.
Oh, I get it now.
Also, Roscoe Lee Brown, may he rest in peace.
Very gay. Holy.
Yeah, that's what killed him ultimately.
How gay? On the Kinsey scale, how gay?
So gay.
What's the Kinsey scale? I mean, what's the...
It's 35 is when you find out you're gay. Anyway.
Okay. But here we go.
No.
Howard Cosell's in it, too.
Oh!
Because he officiates most college athletic events.
Sure. He was really big into
track and field.
Yeah. Amateur sport.
Yeah.
Well, when there are super athletes, super white athletes from Africa, he does.
Yeah, then he turns up.
I gotta get in on this one.
But this is his classic line. Now I'm starting to understand why this movie got 3 stars. Like, Len Maltin's doesn't have his finger on the pulse of humor. At all. Cosell's classic line, I've never seen anything like this in my entire illustrious career. That's his hilarious line. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. It's quoted like that's so funny. Because Howard Cosell was always bragging, so isn't it funny that they still have him brag about
Cosell's classic line, I've never seen anything like this in my entire illustrious career. That's not funny in context, much less out of context. How funny could the Tom Thumb thing have been with Tim Conway?
It's pretty good because he slides down a straw into a cocktail.
Oh, it gets drunk.
I don't know if he gets drunk. It is
a Disney
rated
movie.
Ah, good point.
But it was back then when they did get drunk.
I bet he hiccups at least.
Yeah,
he at least hiccups.
All right, we've almost run out of time.
Does he put his arms over the side of the drink, soaked in booze, and go?
Does he
something like that?
Yeah, he does like a little hiccup.
Does he get one of these spray white stuff?
Pigeon
out of his face.
That's a double take.
Pigeon does a gigantic pigeon. Does a huge double take.
It is a delightful sequence. I don't remember it very well, but it's good.
Oh, sweet. Sweet.
Well, that is a
when I read it in this book, I was like, yeah, that's right. That was a good part. But all I can remember is Paul McCartney shrinking in Help and having to put wrap himself in a Wrigley's wrapper. Because when when Tim Conway shrinks, his clothes shrink too.
Oh,
because most voodoo shaman priestess guys
have a sense of decorum.
They will not leave you. They will not leave you naked when they shrink you.
No,
I'm doing this for a reason. I'm not out to humiliate people.
I'm just saying, look at how tiny your pants are now, asshole. That's what he says.
So I would like to try to get in another song if it's possible. Because we've ran out of time to play the Leonard Maltin game, but he came handy nonetheless.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, this is a,
give
this
us an
a
easy
tight
one.
Ship here. We've
give
only got 2
one.
Minutes left.
Give us an easy
takes
one.
Takes me 2 minutes to find one. All right, here we go.
I won't look.
Yeah, don't look. Oh, this is good. Here we go. Amy Yazbek. The girlfriend of John Ritter.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Good guess, no. Estelle Harris.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights is what I meant.
No.
Estelle Harris.
Florence Stanley, Alice Ghostly, Rex Lynn, J.O. Sanders, Mary Beth Peel. She played the annoying mom on Dawson's Creek. Lisa Waltz, I don't know who that is. Jean Smart, just won an Emmy.
Like, that clue helps.
Jesus. This is an Emmy winner, you guys, Jean Smart. She won an Emmy since making this, if that helps you at all. Jonathan Silverman. And it's not a Bernie's movie. He's made one other movie besides the
is
two
it
weekend
a mannequin
Bernie's
film?
Movies. And it's not a mannequin film. He should have starred Mannequin too, Jonathan.
He should have.
Silverman.
I thought he did.
But it was mannequin. William Ragsdale.
They went to Ragsdale.
Of Herman's Rags, fame.
Ragsy took it. Barnard Hughes.
He's an English guy.
I don't think you guys are going to get this.
Mr. Merlin, the movie.
Christine Baranski. So good in Mamma Mia.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. What is this?
And now the final two names will kind of give it away. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Oh, 400 Blows.
Is it Grumpier Old Men?
No.
Grumpy Old Men?
No.
The grumpiest
buddy, buddy?
You could ever fucking believe?
No, they had a genius idea. When Grumpy Old Men hit, they didn't think, you know what, let's go for two on Grumpy Old Men. They thought, no.
Grumpier
Let's put a deuce men? On Odd Couple and make Odd Couple,
Couple
part two.
Two?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 1998. I should have given you the year at the beginning, 1998. And only one and, only one and a half star, but it does say Jack Lemmon has the classic line. I was going to try to make something up, but it's not even worth it. I couldn't think of a good way to encapsulate this episode and wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Cullen and Paul F. Tompkins, good night. Look for them soon in a comedy club or on the telly or the Broadway stage.
You never know.
And that's been I Love Movies, and as always, Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves...